How many of you are trying to live a godly life in this world today? Sometimes it makes it difficult of what's happening out there to try to live it the right way. But you can do it. You can do it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 tells us these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Today I want to share with you about faith, hope, and love, that as a believer, we need these things. We need these things in our life to make it. There are many people today that are running and putting their faith in the wrong things, in the wrong people, and they don't even know what they really believe. They're just jumping on a bandwagon and we got another, you know, there's other people that are keep playing around with God. I'm not sure if he's real. So they need him at the hospital. They need him in a reckoning in their life. But then again, they don't want to really have him in their life. So their faith is in the moment, but they need that faith that is the real faith. And I always, you know, if you look up the definitions of what faith and hope and love are in Webster, the Webster definition, you're going to find out that the biblical definitions are much stronger and much better, more powerful. But faith, it tells us in Scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to, just for a moment, we'll talk about what faith is, and we're going to talk about what hope is, and we're talking about what love is, and then I can tell you this, that I need all three of those every day. I hope that you know that you need all three of those every day. I'll remind you that you're not as smart as you think you are. So God has given us his word so that we might learn his ways and what he desires from us, that we might live a full life for him with the time that we have, basically the time that we have left. You can live a whole lifetime chasing the wisdom and the faith of the world, and you'll never find what God wants you to find. Without Christ, I don't believe that you can have true faith. You just can't. But Hebrews chapter 11 defines it in what we now know, once we become a believer, what faith really is. Now, faith is a reality in verse 1 of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. We believe because, one, God said it. We believe it because Jesus came. And we have a faith system that has been built in us as God has drawn us as a lost person to himself through Christ. And we receive that salvation. But Satan is also trying to do a work to keep people. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that he blinds, he veils the eyes. He blinds the eyes of the unbelievers. He veils the gospel from them that they don't see it and hear it. And obtain a faith that is true and real. But Satan is also working on believers to shake our believers. But I want to remind you that your faith will be tested. It's going to be tested. My faith has been tested. Your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested again. And you got to rise up. And you got to have faith in the Lord. I want to give you three things that I think people... The three things that people of faith do. People of faith do. One, they live out their faith in both the good times and the bad times. Whereas Job says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Knowing how to worship and still keep your faith, not only in the good times, but also in the bad times. Where a lot of people will abandon faith when it comes that the situation doesn't work out the way that they want it to. So that's one way. We have to learn how, if we want to be a people of faith, a strong faith, we have to live out our faith both in the good times and the bad times. Amen? Now we got to wake up, all right? I know it's been a beautiful weekend, but we got to wake up. We're here to worship. Amen? So number two, we have to trust God in all things, because people of faith will trust God in all things because they're living out their faith. People of faith will live out their faith and they will trust God in all things. In everything. In everything, they will live out their faith. But also, I believe that people of faith also are people of repentance. People of faith know the conscience, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit lays upon our heart knowing there's something, some things, there's something that we've done and we know that is not right, that is offensive, that we knew it probably many times before we've done it. We feel the guilt of the Holy Spirit. He convicts our heart. But people of faith are quick to repentance. Did you catch that? People of faith are quick to repentance because they're living out their faith. They have a relationship with God. And I want to tell you, sometimes our relationship with God kind of, it's not always at a 10. If you're doing a scale from 1 to 10. But people of faith are people of repentance. So we cannot be afraid to go to God and repent, which means we seek forgiveness, we confess our sins, and He forgives us of our sins and cleanses from all of our unrighteousness. So we repent. We have to repent from that. But the world's faith is not in Jesus. It is in everything but God. And that's the way Satan wants it. Put your faith in anything. He doesn't care what it is, as long as it is not God. Know why? Because God is the only one that can change a situation. God is the only one that can do the miracles that we need in our lives. God is the only one that keeps His word. And even the scripture even says when we're faithless, He is still faithful. Praise God for that. Because He says He will not deny Himself. Because why? Because if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And there are times when we're going to falter sometimes in our faith. We don't want to. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to fail at faith today. I want to lose a faith test today. No, nobody does that. We get up in the morning and we know that my faith is secure in Christ. Your faith is secure in Christ. When Christians wake up in the morning, they should be the strongest people. We should be the strongest people in the world. And we are, really, if you know who you have inside of you. If you know what your faith really is, how your faith is all, how your faith is built inside of you, not because you're awesome, but because He is awesome. So the world's faith is not in Jesus. Let me ask you, where's your faith? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you living out that faith? Not to your standards, because your standards are always tilted for selfishness. But I got to do this. I'm doing that. But ask the Lord, are you faithful? Is your faith in Him? But it says these three remain. There's faith, but there's also hope. People today are putting their hope in the wrong things, in the wrong people. And they're putting their future in the hands of things and people that really don't care about their hope or their future. Let me just tell you with the Lord, it's not a wish. It's not a wish. It's that we know that our hope is secure in Him because of our faith. You see, these three build up on each other. But our hope is that it's the confidence that we have in God that He'll make do on all the things that He says He's going to make do of our future. That's part of our faith, but also our hope of the future. So our hope has to be in Christ. But there are three things I want to share with you about a person, a Christian, who knows and has confidence that their hope is in Jesus Christ. And I think that you'll identify with these. Number one, I believe that Christians, their hope is this: when I die, I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus Christ. That's my hope. That's everyone that is a believer. That is their number one hope, that I believe my hope is this: when I die, I'm going to be with Christ in heaven. That's your number one hope. Amen? Anybody get with that? Number two. I will see my saved family and loved ones in heaven. That's the number two. That's the number two piece when you come to the word of hope. Boy, it's pretty good with hope of Jesus, isn't it? Number two, it is that we believe we will see our loved ones and family members, and our brothers and sisters who's already went on to be with the Lord, that we will see them again. And that is our hope because our future is all entrusted with God. Because why? Because of our faith. And our third one is this, that nothing gets past. As I believe in, my hope is this, that this is a basic and simple. God is going to protect me. My protection, my hope is, my protection is, once I got saved, from here out, I am in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is I am protected. That's what we want. No matter how tough we are, no matter how strong we are, we need that protection. And God knows we need that protection. So number one, I know that my hope, your hope should be secure that I know when I die, I'm going to heaven because I have a relationship with Jesus and I did it God's way. I come to Him fully acknowledged that I'm a sinner, that I need Jesus Christ. And my hope is also knowing that I wasn't the only one, that there were others, that I will get to see them too when I go. And I long for that, and I hope for that. But also knowing that I'm going to be protected. Nothing can, God has you in the palm of His hand. Scripture says He knows how many hairs on top of your head. They are numbered. When you comb your hair, He knows exactly. Nothing gets past God. No one's going to squeeze through heaven that shouldn't have got there. And no one's not going to get in because they missed the boat. You don't get in because you don't have Jesus. You get in because you have Jesus. Your hope is secure because it is in Christ. Your hope is shipwrecked because you don't have Christ, but you might have knew about Christ, but you never had Christ. You may know things about the Bible. You may know things about God. But until you know God, and you can only know Him through Christ, you are shipwrecked. You might have got close, but you weren't close. You were just as far as everyone else. But hope is more powerful than we think. You see, suicide is up. It is number 10, cause of death. The first nine are all diseases. But suicide is something that someone does. It's not a disease. And we don't always know why people will commit suicide. But I think, as we know that these three remain, that makes you solid Christian. Is you have your faith in Christ, and you have your hope, and you have your love, which we'll get to. But when people get to that place of wanting to check out, it's not that they don't have faith. Many, as a believer, because believers do check out. Now, there is another, our Catholic friends don't believe, they believe that that is eternal damnation. But I believe differently. And I think Scripture does tell us differently. But people who do decide to take their own life, it's not that they didn't have faith. They have faith. Many are believers that do it have faith. It isn't that they don't love their family and they don't feel loved. It's they have lost their hope. There is no hope in this situation. I see no hope through what I'm going through. I see no hope around the corner. So there's not a loss of faith, really, in many. There's not a loss of love. It is that there is a loss of hope. But let me remind you that your hope is secure in Jesus Christ. We need to be lifted up this morning knowing that our hope is in the one that can hold all of it together. The greatest messes that we can get ourselves into, the nastiest just things that we can get. Our hope is always secure in Christ. God always gives us a way to get through it. And it's always the same. Come to me, who are weary and heavy laden. And what Jesus say? I will give you rest. It's always through Christ. Romans chapter 15. I want to read something from there. Romans 15, about hope. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in Him, so that you may have overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Do you not think that we just read that God wants to give us hope? See, the world has no hope. It has false hopes. Those hopes are shallow. There's no root. It may look good on the outside, but there's no strength or power behind it. But when we get into where God has hope, we have hope. You see, when you have a sick person in your family and you go to the hospital, you go to visit, you go visit a family member, you're not going as one that doesn't have hope. You're going one that has all hope. You're going one as a child of God, going to maybe maybe you're going to pray for them. Maybe you're going to go and visit them. You're allowing God to use you, and you be open as you make those visits that God can bring hope through you. That can change the situation. When marriages are a wreck, there is hope. Marriages, people go through divorce. A lot of times there is, they've not lost their faith. They've not lost their love. They've lost their hope. There's a lot of Christians today that has lost their hope. I heard it from a friend of mine recently. He says, "You know, I got so much going on, but he's kind of got excited. I got to get back to the basics. Just the basics of Jesus. Got to get back to that day that I was saved. I got to relive that in my life where things were not so busy, but just so powerful." And feel that fresh faith come across me again. Got to go back. We have to visit those places. And we know where to go when we feel like we're losing hope. Where do you go when you feel like you're losing hope? One place that you go when you feel like you're losing hope is just pull over in the car, take a walk, and start talking to the Lord again. Not talking at Him, but talking with Him. Sharing your heart. So prayer is the place you go to restore the hope. Sometimes you go back to restore the hope by getting back in God's Word and start reading it fresh again, new again. Okay, you read Genesis 1, chapter 1 so many times. Read it again. Get fresh eyes on, wow, what is creation really about? Put your eyes fresh on it and your joy will be restored and the hope will be restored. Some of us need to get our hope restored in the Lord. Because we've been looking too much out here for hope. We've been looking out too much over there for hope. Let me tell you, when you have Jesus Christ as your hope, and He is your solid hope, let me tell you, you have all you need. You have all your need. One thing that helps me when I get into a spot where I'm not like feeling it, I'm not feeling like, oh, I don't got it, feel like I'm like getting in the valley. You know where I go? To the Gospels. Because I get to hear Jesus talk to people. Just going back to the Gospels. Going back to the Gospels where Jesus was just talking on people, love people, heal people, cast out demons. Jesus just being active with a bunch of sinners. Helping people who are looking for what? Hope. When I go looking in those again, not just looking for a message, but just reading it, what am I going back for? To reignite my hope. Because I know where my hope is supposed to come from. You see, we got ourselves all busy up in our phones. We got ourselves busy up in life. We got ourselves busy up in all kinds of things. And this is exactly where Satan wants us to be, distracted from Jesus. And we fade slowly. We fade from faith, we slowly fade away from hope, and we get out there in those dangerous storms and currents, and we find ourselves, and then all of a sudden our whole life ship is all shaking, and we call out to the Lord, "Lord, help me." Am I the only one that's done that about a billion times in my life? Are we going to be prideful this morning and say, that's not me? Well, you may be there right now and not even know it, because you don't know what you're about ready to hit. You're like the Titanic. I'm unsinkable. And you don't even see an iceberg, because you don't have your eyes on your life anymore. You got your eyes over here. You got your eyes over there. And next thing you know, you're going to hit. And you know what happens to Titanic, right? It sinks. Because I'm telling you, without a faith in Jesus Christ, without a hope in Jesus Christ, you will sink. You will sink. But then he says, these three remain: faith, hope, and then there's love. Boy, love is all twisted up today. If you don't agree with me, then you must not love me. If you're not on my side, then you don't love me. And then we're also challenged to love. Then we say, well, we love people. And then they'll say, well, today the world is saying, yeah, you don't, they're not saying it this way, but you know what I'm saying. You got to love the people and the sin. That's what the world's saying now. You got to love people and the sin. Because there is no wrongs today. Outside of murdering someone, it's almost like there is no wrongs today. So we are called the bad people because we don't love the stuff. We don't love the sin. We don't like the choosing of what people are doing. So people are choosing love in the wrong places and trying to find love in the wrong places and the wrong people. So we've kind of come to a place where people say that if you don't love the sin, then you don't love people. You're a hater. Well, you know what? I got to quit letting people, and you got to quit letting people speak in this ear and listen what this is speaking. And he'll tell you love people. He'll tell you don't love the sin, but love the people. But the world will tell you love the people and love the sin. If you can't love both, then you don't, then you're a hate. You hate. And tries to turn it around and make us look like we're a hating people. We're not a hating people. We're a loving people. So what is this love? It's an intense feeling and deep affection for someone or something. That's what Webster Dictionary says. So it's an intense feeling of deep affection for someone or something. What does the Bible say? Bible got a lot more to say than just a little piece. It says this in 1 John. If you want to know about love, read 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. That's a good piece there. Like that. We'll come back. For we are as he is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. So there's a worldly kind of love. This is bigger than I love pizza, okay? This is bigger than I love Mexican food or whatever you like. This love, God's love, is bigger than just being affectionate for something or someone. God is all in on this thing called love. So much that he gave his only son, right? So that he would take these sinful people that we are and bring them and adopt them and graft us into his family. That we might, then he goes on to, we might be co-heirs with Christ. Which is like, what? Who shares an inheritance? One that loves. And people are working, you know, there's even country songs are the best about looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, I know there's some country fans out here. Usually the ones that know that song are over my age or older. Because you can look for love in all the wrong places. Because some of us here have found we looked for love in all the wrong places. Thought we had it in that wrong place, but it didn't last long because it was shallow love and it wasn't real love. You see, real love forgives. Real love confesses. Real love is compassionate when not expected to be compassionate. Real love is tender even when the other person is not being tender back. Love. We all want to be loved. We all, I believe, as believers, we've experienced God's love, and we like that love. In fact, we love the love that God gives to us because it is powerful and is joyful. There's three things I want to share about the believers and love. Number one, believers, love God and love Jesus. We just read, if you don't love God, you don't know what love is. We found out that we don't love because we love because He first loved us. You know, when you date, you hear the question sometimes, well, who fell in love with who first? Who fell in love with who first? Well, let me just answer this question. Jesus fell in love with you first. And it was tilted big time. He gave us so much. He loved us so much. He gave us so much in that love piece. It is tilted. He loved us first. And you know what we're trying to do? We're still trying to figure out that love. We're still trying to love back. But you know what? He knows it. He knows it. He knows that. So number one, the believers love God and love Jesus. Number two, you can't do this. I don't believe you can do this unless you're a believer. Believers have learned to love their enemies. Ooh. Did you know your brother, sister, or your uncle, your aunt, or your father, or mother can be your enemy in moments? Really? Your preacher? Your pastor? Your boss at work? Believers have learned to love their enemies. This is what the lost can't get. Number three, when it comes to love, believers love, here we go, the lost. Because they know and have experienced the love of God, they want others and everyone else to have what they have. And you can only get that because you have Christ, because Christ wants you to have what He has. That's why you become co-heirs. That's how you get it. So you can't love others, not in the way God wants you to, without God, Christ. Why? Because you'll pick and choose in the world, you'll pick and choose who you love. But in Scripture, we are called to love everyone. Why? Because God did it first. Once again, He initiated it first in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What am I supposed to do with all this? Faith and hope and love. Well, I'm supposed to live it out and live it out loud that people don't have to just hear me talk about it, but as they see me walk it, and see you walk it in this world, that they might see their faith is different than mine. What makes their faith different? What makes it? They ask you, why do you have faith in Jesus Christ? And you will give an answer. Now, what I just said, if someone comes up to you and says, why do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Right now, that would stress you out. Some of that would stress you out. But I want to remind you, the Holy Spirit speaks through you. He'll give you the words. This is why so many people don't share the gospel. They're afraid they don't have the words. You don't have the words. That's when you try to figure out how to share the gospel, how to answer those biblical questions. When people ask you about your faith, about why you believe, what's this love thing that God has? You may not have all these biblical verses down, and that's fine. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you common words and knowledge and words to speak to someone that's lost. Lost people don't need to hear about circumcision in the Old Testament right now. They don't need to hear about what happened with the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. They don't need to hear about all that. They need to just come to that place that God is real. That he sent his son Jesus because he loves you, man. He loves you. Haven't you ever done anything wrong? Yeah. Well, that's called a sin. That separates all of us from God. I'm a sinner too. But there came a place in my life where I found out that I needed to take care of this sin. I couldn't do it. But man, I went to God. I went through Christ. And I feel good about my life. It's not perfect, but Christ has done some things in my life. He's forgiven me of my sins. He is my Lord and Savior. You don't have to have all this 1, 2, 3, 4. No. Because people wouldn't understand it anyway. Once you start getting all up in the scriptures, they turn you off. They turn you off. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Because really, Scripture says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. How's your faith this morning? Is it in Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Or are you playing and dabbling with other things that you know in your spirit that you shouldn't be dabbling in? There is a lure of darkness that will lure you into an alley that you've never been down. Or a door that's cracked open that'll speak. Say, come on in. Let me show you some tarot cards. Let me show you something. But also there's a hope. How's your hope? Is your hope where it needs to be? Solid in Jesus Christ. Solid to the point that all your hope rests in Christ. And where's your love? Let me tell you, some of us don't love very well because we're not letting God love us the way he wants. You're not letting other people love on you. So if you don't feel it, sometimes you don't give it. It's hard to give a lot. You ain't got a lot. But I'll remind you, you have enough love because of God, but you got to let God do his work in you. And you got to accept it. You got to accept that love. What was the writer writing here? He was saying, above all these spiritual gifts that you have, above all the things that God gives you, there are three that remain: faith, hope, and love. You're going to need those. They're going to be your anchors. They're going to be your pillars in your house of life. They're going to be your pillars: faith, hope, and love. This is for the believer. If you don't have Christ in your life, I will tell you this: you have a faith, but it's not solid. It's not Jesus. It's not good enough. You have a hope, but your hope wavers all the time. It's not solid. And you may have a love, but that love is not everlasting. It's short. It's got things attached to it. I'll love you if you do this. I love you if you love me back. I'll love you for this. God's love is unconditional. God's faith is free for the asking. In his hope, God keeps his promises. You will go to heaven. You will see your loved ones. Amen? I hope your faith, hope, and love is solid in Christ today. If it needs strengthened, we're going to have a time for opportunity for that.